on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
This is a message to all the Orient fans. It's been a really bizarre year. I'm sitting here in Boston surrounded by 18 inches of snow, so I'm sure we're going to have a tough winter on top of a really tough year. But everyone has stood by the club, and I wanted to thank everyone for their non-stop support. On the field, we feel we've made progress this year, and despite the lack of fans, we feel we've made progress as a club commercially as well. But let's think about Christmas. It's a time to say thanks for the good things in life. So let's try and be positive. So have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. See you next year. And I mean, see you next year. In person, I hope. Thank you, Nigel.
Hi, Lawrence Figueroa here. Want to wish the Orient Hour a very Merry Christmas and just to keep up the good work.
Hello everyone, Josh Colson here. Just want to wish the Orient Hour a massive Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Hope you have a great one, guys. See you soon.
Hello there to everyone at Orient Hour. Connor Wilkinson here. Just want to wish you a Merry Christmas and hopefully you have a Happy New Year. Take care and stay safe.
Hi Orient Hour, this is Hector from Leighton Orient and I want to wish you Merry Christmas and I hope you have a good day.
Hey, it's Danny Johnson. I'd like to wish all the listeners and to everyone at the Orient Hour a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hello, this is a message to say Merry Christmas to everybody involved and the ones that listen to the Orient Hour. Love the fact that the show is still continuing. Hope everyone keeps well and enjoys the Christmas period. Take care, up the O's.
Well, thank you for those kind messages, and Ross sounds rather surprised we're still going. Thanks for that, Ross. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to an Orient Hour with a bit of a difference. As you are all aware, of course, we've hit this new tier system, and it has caused a bit of chaos here. And what's had to happen is I'm on my own here in the studio, and we are coupling together literally the show with people ringing in, etc., and splicing it together to make sure you've got a show to listen to tonight. So hopefully Hopefully, he says, it'll all come out in the wash. But we've got a few people to speak to tonight. But first of all, I'd like to bring in Dave and Matt with their review of the year and their thoughts on the disappointment of the weekend. So, and I'd also like to thank them in advance for all their help this year. They've been invaluable, both of them, and they've done a great job for the club, obviously. And long may it continue. But here's what they've got to say after yesterday.
Well, Matt, 2020, a year like no other. We've had lockdown, we've seen pitch-side dining, we've been tested for all sorts of things. We've had COVID at Leighton Orient, and we finished the year with Leighton Orient just sort of outside the playoff positions. What do you make of what's happened?
Well, it's been incredible, hasn't it? I don't think anyone in their right mind would have predicted to have seen the things that we've seen, and the impact it's had on not just football but society overall. But you have to have optimism. I think there is optimism that 2021 will be much better, particularly with the vaccine, and hopefully we can get back to some normality.
So let's look out at the standout features. Before lockdown, it seemed as if under Ross Hamilton it had clicked after so many disruptions and, of course, problems at the start of the campaign, which were so easily understood. And, you know, the year also finishes with JE3 Day and, you know, people coming together to remember a special man that achieved so much and Leighton Orient back in the Football League because of Justin Edinburgh.
Yeah, it's important to never forget, and I don't think this club will allow that. It was a special day from Justin's perspective today, and of course further promotion on the JE3 and the case that it presents in terms of defibrillators and trying to bring them in to obviously sports arenas and societies and gyms. And yeah, it's important never to forget what that man did for this football club.
Yes, and Ross Hamilton, I mean, the second time around, they call him Ross the Boss now, you know, and as Kent Teague said, there's no safety net for him.
No, there isn't, but I think Ross will be relatively happy with the position that the O's are in because they are within touching distance of the playoffs. We've spoken before, I've certainly shared an opinion that I don't think the league is as strong as it was last year. There's a real opportunity for the O's to push on, but of course that takes a lot of work, determination and a bit of quality out on the pitch. So the O's at the moment, they're well placed, but they've got a bit of work to do.
The January transfer window was so important and so significant, and particularly Dan Johnson and Lawrence Vigouroux have made such an impact.
Yeah, and you feel...
And Cissé as well, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. You see Cissé as well has contributed, but you feel it might take another window like that to push Orient on, to kick on, to get in that top seven and really compete in this division. We saw at the start of the year, Johnson, Cissé and Vigouroux brought in, and they've all made a contribution, but a massive contribution to this Orient team. They all start week in, week out. Lawrence Vigouroux, I think you have to say, is one of the strongest goalkeepers in the league. Danny Johnson has repaid on the pitch in terms of goals. And Anu Cissé plays an important role protecting that back four. But I think it might mean or need a couple more of those additions of that stature to get Orient pushing on.
Because the back four is the one that brought Leighton Orient back into the Football League at the moment, isn't it?
It is, and they lost Marvin Ekpeteta, of course, who's gone on to bigger things at Blackpool, playing a league higher. But it is important. You need to have that structure, that organisation. I think Josh Coulson has impressed a lot of supporters this year with his efforts. Played a lot more football than I think most had expected him to do. Dan Happy is a young man who just goes from strength to strength. He's a real talent. I do feel at some stage he will move on in his career. But at the moment, they are the centre-half pairing. Whether Ross and the board decide to bring in additional numbers in that particular department, we'll have to wait and see.
The captain, Joby McEnough, outstanding. I know he shouldn't keep going on about his age, but for this once, we'll say, you know, he's in his 40th year. It's amazing.
Yeah, I think you can be forgiven there, Dave, because it's a miracle of science, isn't it, what Joby McEnough seems to do week in, week out. Once again this afternoon, we've watched him, the energy levels, he keeps going. It's not a case of players playing an hour and coming off. Joby wants to play every single minute, and I think at the moment, for his own protection, they will have to try and manage him. But what he contributes on the pitch, not only in terms of ability and quality, is monumentous. It's the leadership he shows at times. When Orient do have their backs on the walls, they need that determination, someone to inspire. He always delivers.
My point of view, I think when Connor Wilkinson is playing wide on the right, and certainly when you've got the pace of Brophy on the left, the 4-3-3 formation works very well. But when you take either of those out, it's not quite the same. Is that fair?
I think that's a fair point. I'm certainly an advocate of James Brophy playing higher up the pitch in that three because of the pace. And I think at this level, there's not many defenders that are able to control a player like James Brophy, who does have that weaponry with the pace. Connor Wilkinson, again, another one which sometimes splits supporters, should he play down the middle. But I think if you look at his goal ratio, 9 goals and Danny Johnson scored 15, you can't really have too many complaints. But again, Connor Wilkinson, a big loss this afternoon in this game, and a player which you feel has a lot more potential and could potentially play at a higher level.
The results demonstrate inconsistency, but there's one or two players that also are consistently inconsistent. Jordan Maguire-Drew would be one of them. Is that fair?
Well, I think it is, only insofar as you look at the fact he's not been involved in the squad, has he, in recent weeks? He came on this afternoon as a substitute, but he hasn't had many starts this year. And I think Jordan Maguire-Drew is a young player, 23 years of age. You look at the majority of the career he's played a lot of football in the National League. We need to remember that. There's a lot of ability in the young man, and no one's questioning that, but it's a step up for him. He needs to prove he can do it week in, week out. It's not acceptable to obviously earn your starting place by giving 15-20 minutes off the bench. When you get your opportunities, you've really got to take them.
We record this as the announcement is made that London goes into Tier 4. Not too sure what that implies, but I imagine it makes journeys much harder because you can't go into hotels very easily, can they?
No, we've obviously got a lot of long distance travel in this campaign, there's no doubt about that. And there's some long trips coming up, of course, in January. Carlisle being one of them. Bolton not too long after. So there's a few more long distance journeys for the O's. We'll just need to adapt and obviously look to have the best conditions, environment possible to prepare the team for important games.
But at least it looks as if professional sport, and particularly professional football, is going to continue. The vaccines are on the horizon. What are your hopes in terms of football and Leighton Orient for 2021?
Well, from a footballing side, it's quite simple. It's for the O's to be successful, and that means obviously promotion. That's a big ask, but I think it's one that we have to demand. I don't suspect any one involved in the club, players, the board, the supporters will just accept mid-table mediocrity. We need to be pushing at this level, and the fact that it is such an open division, we have a real opportunity this year. So that is my hopes on the pitch. It's a big ask. Off the pitch, it's the return of fans. It's getting fans back inside the ground safely to watch their team.
Because I think this squad is strong enough. You've already mentioned Jordan Maguire-Drew. On top of his game, he's definitely good enough, and as you could look at across the whole squad, there are players that are not only good enough to play, but they are good enough to play in a side that are pushing for promotion.
Yeah, we're not far away. There's no doubt about that. I think it still needs one or two additions, but those additions need to be players that will start games and start dominating games and win you games of football at this level. The squad has got depth. There's no doubt about that. But Ross has already commented, of course, that there is players that contracts are up at the end of this season, and they will have one eye on that. But from an Orient perspective, we're not too far away. One or two tweaks here and there, we've got a real opportunity.
Looking forward to it. Thanks very much, Matt. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you to both Dave and Matt there for their contributions. As I say, their ongoing contributions to our show as well. It's very much appreciated. And as I say, if you've just tuned in, it's a bit of a show with a difference because we've had to pin it together. Literally, we normally have, in normal circumstances, four or five people in the studio. It went down to four, then to three, then to two, and now it's literally because of all the new tiers and obviously concerns for everybody's safety at the station as well as the guests, etc. We are having to literally do it over the phone with everybody and just to try and ensure you have got some form of show this week. So we'll be speaking in a moment to some of our presenters and we'll take it from there as we go along. Okay, right. Well, Glenn Wilkie now, in fact, joins us on the line. Hello, Glenn.
Hi, Andy.
How's you, mate?
Better. I was really, really struggling after the Crawley game. I'm sort of calmed down a bit now. My emotions are all over the place after the game, so it's nice to sort of calm a bit down now.
Yeah, I mean, disappointing, wasn't it? I think that's the only thing you can say. It was a very disappointing affair, really.
Very disappointing. There was flashes of the good side we saw in the second half against Salford, against Newport the previous week. There was flashes of that, but it wasn't. There was no consistency there, and it was. I could see it was driving Ross and the bench manager, and we were getting frustrated watching it on the side with the guys from the Orient Live team, and it was just. I think not having the crowd there like they did the week before was a massive loss for the players. They needed a bit of a lift, like they did the previous week. They needed that bit of a lift. They didn't get it, and there was no energy about them. It was just, one of them games where the bench was frustrated. You could see the players, they just wasn't at the races, were they?
No, it was a sluggish performance, and I mean, they had all week to prepare. You know, it's a strange one. You know, you go from the heights of the Newport match the other week, and it's just not clicked since then, has it?
Well, certainly, they had the long trip to Morecambe on Tuesday. I don't know when they got back, maybe Wednesday, if they stayed overnight or early hours. So they probably didn't train Wednesday. They trained Thursday, maybe, and done a little bit on Friday before the game. But, yeah, it's just, I was thinking to myself before the game, I actually stupidly said on Twitter or on Orient Live that I thought it was going to be a convincing home win, just purely. Joby was back in, he drives the team on, he gets them going, and that's what I was fully expecting. But all right, Connor Wilkinson was out, and that was a big blow, massive blow. They just didn't have that much about them, and I think it took Joby probably 20 minutes to get going himself, but it was too static in that first half. It was too comfortable playing the ball backwards and just trying to keep possession, which is great, but when you keep possession, it's to move the opposition around to create a bit of space to then go and attack and be dynamic. There wasn't none of that, apart from a few sort of glimpses of Brophy towards sort of the back end of the first half. Okay, we had a couple of chances in the first half where we could have scored. Joby's got the goal or deflected goal. There was a couple of other opportunities in there that maybe go and score one or two more. But that was it. That was the only opportunities. And I just thought, they would have got in at half-time, they would have got a massive, massive talking to, and they would come out firing in the second half. And they did a little bit. Both nearly scored sort of 48, 49th minute when the keeper's made an absolutely outstanding save. But he was causing them all sorts of problems. I was really impressed with Brophy yesterday. I thought he was superb.
Yeah, that's the question, though, Glenn. That's the one I wanted to say to you. Brophy is the talking point of everybody, isn't he? It's the enigma within the side, because what do we do? Do we stick or do we twist? I mean, my personal opinion, I'll say what I think, Glenn, is that his best position is forward, you know, on the wing, and he should be played in his best position. You should play your players in their best position, and you may end up with one, maybe two, not the best players, but filling in, but you've got the rest of the squad at the most potent, you know. And I just get so frustrated that he's doing, I know he's played, we've gone through this many times, I know he's played defensive before, but it just seems to be such a waste. It's the one player that can cut through a side and put the fear of God into a team.
I was scratching my head yesterday when the change happened, because I thought Joe Widdowson was having a really good game. The ball he put through to Brophy between the two defenders just before the goal to set up the goal when Brophy's crossing was unbelievable. The weight on the pass was superb. I thought Joe Widdowson was having a cracking game yesterday, and the back four didn't look troubled from open play. Now, Brophy was absolutely killing their right back. The right back got Brooks. And fair play to Crawley, they made a change. They made a change and brought, I think his name was Cisse, they brought him on, and it was probably a bit more pacey to try and contain Brophy. Now, he didn't really get the ball that much in the second half after that, so he wasn't as effective as he was earlier spells. Now, when the change happened, I was scratching my head and I was thinking, why is he moving the most, well, the biggest threat in the team at that point in the game was Brophy. And I couldn't get my head around why he was moving him back to left back. I generally thought that there was possibly an injury to Joe Widdowson. I don't think there was, but there could have been. Now, I was thinking about this and I thought the only other reason is for Brophy there. Brophy may have been knackered because although the pitch looked good, it was raining and it started to get really, really heavy. Now, Brophy done a lot of work. Now, whether he got tired and Ross has thought, right, OK, I'll stick him at left back and if we do get the ball, OK, we know what he's good at going forward. He can support. I can't even remember who he put on the left in the to replace him. I can't even remember that. It's all a bit of a blur. But I think he brought Rule on and he changed the system a bit and he put Rule on up front. It was just, I think he wanted to bring that extra sort of forward player on but didn't want to take anyone off. So he didn't want to take Dan Johnson off. He didn't want to take sort of Joby off or people like that who had that attacking threat. Now, at that point, you've got to say, Ross has gone for it. He's gone for it. At the time, it was 1-1. He's gone for the game. He wants to win. I thought Crawley were there for the taking, regardless of how we were performing, but he's gone for the win. Now, that has massively backfired. It has backfired because, OK, JMD's given the ball away and they've passed a nice little ball in between Appy and Brophy. Cross has come in and they've scored. It's backfired because I don't think Joe Widdowson would have been in that sort of further forward position that Brophy would have been in and he would have cut that ball out or the ball wouldn't have been played there. Yeah. So that's backfired. But then I started thinking sort of overnight, it took me 3 hours to get home after the game because of the traffic in London and I was sitting there thinking about it, analysing the game and I thought, do you know what? Would I want to coach at 1-1 at home against the team? Okay, they're not the worst team we've played, but not the best team. Do I want a coach who goes out and tries to win the game? Or do I want a coach who says, do you know what? We'll settle for a point. We'll settle for the point. We'll just get bodies behind the ball and we'll settle for the point at home. Now, I think nearly every supporter will want to go for the win at home. And if the supporters are in the crowd and he went the other way and went defensive, they'll be getting on his back. Now, fair play to Ross. He's gone for it and it's backfired. It has backfired, and that's what happens in games for all teams, regardless of if it's Leighton Orient or bloody Man United. Do you know what I mean? It backfired. Mm-hmm. Ross would be thinking about it, and he'd be sort of analysing the performance and his performance and his substitutions and stuff, which any good coach will do. But thinking about it, it seemed a strange change in sort of personnel and sort of positions, but thinking about it, I can see why he did it, because he wanted Brophy to stay on the pitch, but Joe Widdowson has been sacrificed because of that.
Yeah. I mean, some of the... You've got to say, Glenn, I mean, as a defender yourself, I mean, some of the defending was pretty... it wasn't good, was it?
It wasn't ideal, no. The first goal, I felt a bit sorry for Coulson, because I watched it go over and over again. It was a quick run across him, which you never want your forward getting across you in the box. That's the first rule, golden rule of defending. Don't let your forward get across you, especially from a ball coming in out wide. He got across him, but then the forward has jumped in the air and he's got his arms up as well. And I think he's sort of blocked Josh's sort of view. And as it's just gone over the forward's head, he couldn't get out of the way. He couldn't get out of the way and he's just clipped him and gone in. It was a really unfortunate goal. I felt sorry for him, but maybe his positioning before the cross has come in could have been better, or they was holding a bit of a tighter line. They didn't want to drop too deep. It's one of them things. They'll be working on it in training this week. But it was a little bit sloppy, I must say, the defending. It wasn't how they've defended when they were going on them 3-4 games, keeping clean sheets, and there was a real sort of energy about them, and they didn't want to concede goals. It was like they were so sort of dominant and just clearing the ball and getting it away. But I thought Dan Appy yesterday, he wasn't at the races. He wasn't how he's performed previously. But don't forget, their forward who scored the winning goal, I forget his name now, begins with W, but is he the top goal scorer in the league? He was an handful. He was decent. He was Waters, I think his name was. Yeah. He was very good. So you're playing against probably one of the best strikers in the league. You've got to be sharp. They wasn't at the races, I didn't think, yesterday, and they did make mistakes.
I mean, what do you put it down to, Glenn? Because, you know, as you say, Crawley weren't exactly world beaters, were they?
They weren't. But do you know what? They had a 15-20 minute spell in the first half where they've obviously done their own work on how we play. So they said, well, OK, you have the ball at the back. You've got to break us down now. And they were quite a big side defensively. And because we couldn't break them down and pass through the lines and sort of create space because of the lack of movement, and I said this yesterday at half-time, the lack of movement yesterday was so frustrating, so frustrating. The guys at the back were getting the ball and they're looking for someone to pass to. There's no one moving into a decent bit of space for them to pass the ball in. So what do you do as a defender? All you can do is pump it long. And they were pumping it long. We've got DJ up front on his own. Their centre-halves were lapping it up, just heading it back. And then once it's headed back, they were like flies around honey. And they were getting swarms of bodies around the ball, nicking the ball and getting on the attack. And when they got the ball, they were sharp. They looked sharp and they looked threatening without actually creating anything. So fair play to Crawley, because in the second half, they didn't allow our defence any time on the ball. So they obviously changed what they wanted to do. So as soon as our defence got the ball in the second half, they were putting them under pressure because they obviously said, look, they're going to make a mistake here. They're not on top of their game. They'll make a mistake and we can nick the ball around the pitch. And that's what they've done. And that's where the goals come from. In the middle of the park, JMB, they put pressure on him. He's had to pass it when he wasn't ready to pass it. He's given the ball away and they've gone on a quick attack and beat us.
Do you think a lot of that, though, is rustiness from JMD? Because he's not really had a long spell in the side, has he?
Do you know what? On his day, we know the quality he has. And he can change a game with a delivery or something a little bit special. Something's obviously gone on. I don't know. I honestly don't know what's gone on behind the scenes. Now, whether it's a lack of form, whether it's something personal, we don't know. So there's a reason he's not been in the team. There's a reason he's not been on the bench. We're not privy to that information. The coaching staff are. And we've got to trust the coaching staff as to who they put on the bench, who's right to be on the bench and who's right to start the game. Now, we can say it's rustiness, but giving the ball away the way he did, it was disappointing. Is his heart really in it? Is he thinking, well, I haven't got a future at a club. I'm up. My contract's up at the end of the year. Am I that bothered? Me personally, he's in the shop window. Unless something's already been agreed with another club for him to go in January, I think he's in the shop window and he should be, when he does get minutes on the pitch, he should be doing his best. Okay, it was a misplaced pass. He didn't mean to do that. But if he was possibly a little bit sharper or he was more focused, then that wouldn't have happened.
I mean, the feedback we got on him when we first signed him was that if he feels like it, it's going to be a good, you know, he's a good player. And you think, so, well, that sort of is an attitude situation, isn't it, for a manager to sort of get over. Now, whether that's true or not, we don't know. We don't coach him every day. We don't see him every day. But does he strike you as that sort of player that if he feels like it, he'll do it?
When he's in form, it's like most players. When they feel loved, when you'll get a better performance out of them. And when they're in form, when their confidence is high, it all comes together. Now, okay, he's not been starting games, but 6-7 games ago, he was coming off the bench and he was making an impact. He sort of getting good crosses in the box and we're scoring goals from it and bits and pieces like that. But if he's not doing something in a game, if the manager puts him on the pitch and says, right, when we don't have the ball, you need to be doing this.
Yeah.
If he's not doing that, and it's a detriment to the team, he can't start again, or he can't come on again, until he starts putting that effort and attitude right. Now, if he's not doing that, why would you put him on the pitch? Even though he could be a bit of a match winner, why would you do that when you've got other guys training in the squad all week who are giving it 100% and they'll do anything to get into the team, and then they'll take on board the information that the coaching staff's given them to do the best possible job on the pitch for Leyton Orient for the team to get maximum points in the game?
Yep, fair comment.
Okay,
yep.
If somebody's, if he's got 2-3 years contract, and it's so frustrating, because how many times do you keep telling a player the same thing? Now, I don't know this is what's going on, but me just guessing, if he's not doing something, how many chances do you give that player to say, you've got to do this, you've got to do this? If they keep ignoring you, then one is they don't care, or two, they're not capable of doing it.
Yep, so some decisions for Ross to make. Now, we've been a bit negative because it was a bit of a poor match altogether yesterday and a poor performance. So let's try and end the conversation, Glenn, with a positive. Your highlight of the year?
My highlight of the year, there's been a few, but for me, with what's gone on in the world, in the country, and especially in and around football, my highlight of the year was last Saturday against Newport County, having nearly 2,000 supporters back in the stadium watching their beloved Orient. And I've been privileged to, as you know, to watch the games and help out on Leyton Orient TV. And the atmosphere, it's not the same, but you actually get used to it. But to see the supporters in the ground last week, the smiles on their faces before the game, the anticipation, everything like that, I was getting goosebumps while I was there. And then their few chants they were making early on, and the lift when there was something good happened or something bad, and they were, I just thought it was absolutely brilliant, and it reminded me of football, what football was like 10 months ago throughout my life down to football matches. So my highlight of the year was having them supporters back last Saturday against Newport, and because of them being in the stadium, I believe it was because of the supporters that gave the O's the lift in that second half and got them to beat the team at the top of the league.
Lovely. Glenn, you and your family have a great Christmas, mate, and we'll see
you
in the new year.
Thanks
for
joining
us. Yeah, thanks, mate.
Cheers.
Take care.
Bye.
Great to have Lee Boyce with us on the line. Hello, Lee.
Hello, Andy.
How are you, mate?
Yeah, all good, mate.
Yeah, we're glad to have you back on board after a little break for you. And it's been a disappointing weekend. We've just been speaking to Glenn Wilkie. It's been a disappointing weekend for Orient, hasn't it? It was a poor result yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, it's frustrating after the way results have gone recently that we've turned in sort of last two performances. But, yeah, yesterday weren't great.
No, it wasn't. But, you know, we look at our positives. We're trying to look at some positives. And, I mean, you've got to say the Wilkinson-Johnson partnership has been a wonderful positive for the club. 25 goals between them, something like that now? 24 goals? 24 goals, I think, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the start of the season, what one of us would have had Johnson down and scoring that many goals. But, yeah, they have looked very lively and obviously give us a lot to cheer about.
He has. I mean, what's your positives this year? I mean, we'll be speaking to everybody with that. What's the things that you've been impressed with this year?
I mean, I think when we've shown like Bolton and Newport, when we've shown what we can actually do, like, you know, it's a lot to build on. I mean, like you say, Johnson scoring them goals, Wilkinson's been outstanding, Hector coming through, looks like he's ready to start or like regular. I think they're the sort of main positives that I'm seeing. Is like the players that are coming through. We've got to keep them. Like, let's not beat around the bush. We've got to keep them. But that's what I've enjoyed. The way when we have played, we've looked really good.
I mean, Johnson is obviously setting the place on fire, and he's obviously not going unnoticed by other teams. They will obviously be watching him like a hawk. And what do we do there, Lee? Do we splash the cash? What do we do?
Well, I mean, we're going to put contracts on the table for all of them. Like I said, all three of them players I've just mentioned. But at the end of the day, if they don't want to stay, there's nothing we can do, is there? I mean, don't matter how much money you put down, if a player doesn't want to stay, he's not going to. And they're going to be hard to replace, to be fair, with the amount of players we've got out of contract. But let's just hope that they believe in what Ross is doing and what the club are doing, and they sign as quick as possible.
Indeed. So, if you had to pick a favourite moment this year, Lee, what would it be?
Oh, favourite moment this year?
It's been a difficult year, hasn't it?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of anything.
We haven't been to many matches, have we?
I think Bolton, really. I mean, I know Bolton come down as a bigger name than they actually were as a team this season, but when you turn over a team like Bolton 4-0, it's always a great result, isn't it? So I would say that, yeah.
That is. And always say to you, Lee, have a really happy Christmas if you can. And it's a difficult one for everybody, isn't it, this time around with these new restrictions for everyone. So hopefully we'll see you back in the studio next month. And we'll be hopefully looking at Orient trying to make it into the playoffs at the end of this season. But take care, my friend, and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Andy. Happy Christmas to you and to everyone that listens. Keep the faith.
Indeed. Cheers, Lee.
Cheers. Ta-da.
So glad to have Barry Galvin with us as well, the club's PA announcer. How are you, Barry?
Yeah, okay, Andy. In the circumstances, not too bad. How are you?
Yeah, well, we're all coping, aren't we, under this new regime we've got to cope with. You get so many things thrown at you this year, and I'm sure everybody's feeling the same. It's just one thing after the next. We have to deal with it, don't we?
Yeah, it was particularly heartbreaking to have the fans in for the one game. And then you know, it'll be to behind closed doors again. It was a difficult one to swallow, really.
Well, I was talking earlier to Glenn Wilkie, and Glenn said, it sort of intimated that it may have affected the players, really, because he thought it was, you know, a bit of a downer after that. His highlight was the fans being there. You know, do you think that got to the players, the fact that they were back behind closed doors again?
No, I mean, you know, they're not going to be very happy about it, and I think, no doubt, the fans were a crucial element in their victory the previous week, but they're professional football players, and they had played 5 or 6, 7 games behind closed doors before that. So I don't think it's an excuse, really. It was disappointing yesterday. Wasn't our worst performance, but it was one of those where you think, how did we lose that one? But, yeah. I mean, overall, we are where I'll be honest with you, and we're where I thought we would be at this stage of the season. I think I said to you, 10th, didn't I, at the start of the season when we had our predictions, and I think would be a win-lose-draw kind of team this year, and I think thus it's proving a bit inconsistent. But there have been some great times so far this season. It's just a shame, as we say, it's not been with the fans there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you say you are basically a mid-table sort of side, win, lose, draw, as you say. But isn't that the time for the players that, you know, the contracts are coming up, and that they were with us in the non-league, let's put it that way. And there's many of us feel that we've got too many, perhaps, players still there who were of that standard. Now, isn't that a chance for them to say, look, come on, I can get this contract. I can, you know, they should be fighting for it, shouldn't they?
Yeah, they should. I don't think it's due to lack of fight. I really don't. And I think, to a man, we've got as good a squad as most teams in this division. I'm not going to say all teams, but most teams in the division. We have made some individual errors, and there have been a couple of halves, not even whole games at halves, where we've played particularly badly. The Scunthorpe one and the one away the other day to...
Morecambe,
that's right. Yeah, sorry.
That's
but,
right.
You know, I think overall, we all want our teams to play well. We all want our team to win. We all want to enjoy watching the football. If you look at it over the whole season, you know, I think we could be fairly satisfied about where we are.
Yeah, and overall, your favourite moments of the year?
Well, I think a couple stand out. I mean, the Danny Johnson hat-trick at home, that was incredible. Just a shame the fans weren't in for that one. And the 4-0 against Bolton, you know, great, great performances. Really looked like we were going to score every time we went forward. And it's a good football as well, you know, not just get a bit of luck and hoofing it around. It was some good football, and yeah, I mean, those two stand out for me.
Yeah, I mean, actually, Lee Boyce chose the Bolton match as his highlight of the year. I think, you know, a lot of it is the name Bolton, obviously. I mean, they are what they are. They're just, that's just the name on the wrapper, if you like.
But you beat anyone 4-0 was a good result.
Yeah,
let alone being Bolton, you know.
I mean, it's time for teams not to be fazed by the title of the team. It's that they're in the same division. You know, we had
well, we've got Bradford City, they're struggling. Big name as well.
Yeah.
They're struggling. So there's no respecter of titles when you're playing a game of football, is it? You know, you play who's against you, and you do your best to win.
Well, during this difficult year, and it's, as you say, it's been a nightmare for everybody, but is there a standout player for you in 2020?
Yeah, Joby Mackenough. Without a doubt. You know, watching him yesterday, watching the week before, he's just incredible. You know, What a pride, what an athlete. You know, he's nearly 39, is he? Get me maths right. Is he 39? I can't remember. He's 38 or 39. 39, but, you know, his ability, his natural ability, his attitude, his, you know, his application, his leadership, everything about him, pure class. He's normally the best player on the field every time we play, regardless of who we're playing. You know, he's technically the best player on the field, and got to respect him. And, yeah, I mean, he's used the word legend, but he is now an Orient legend, isn't he? I mean, this all could have been so different if he hadn't came back. It would have been just one of those players that, you know, he came and went and didn't really make an impact. But fair play to him for coming back and making himself, you know, a proper stalwart of Leighton Orient.
Well, I think he sort of staked his claim for his character in just doing that, didn't he? Just coming back to the club. Was enough to say that there's something about this guy. He could have sloped off, he took his money and run, if you like, but he's not. He's come back for a lot less money and thought, no, I've got an unfinished business here. These people saw me in one light and they need to see me how I really am. And the amount that he's put into the club, not just on the pitch, off the pitch, you know, I mean,
that's what I'm saying, the character of the guy. And, you know, there are a couple of other players, I won't mention them, some people would like me to, but there were a couple of players that in the Italian era came from a higher level and came and jogged around and were there for the money and just didn't give a hoop, you know? And he was off that ilk, coming from a higher level, coming down, total opposite.
Yeah, indeed he was. I mean, I've got to be honest, we're saying about favourite moments of the year. Mine isn't a goal. Mine is Joby's run against Newport.
And just, his sprint, yeah.
I mean, that is just unbelievable. And as you say, his age, I mean, if you were the other fella, I mean, you'd feel humiliated, wouldn't you, really?
Absolutely.
You might be finding a different job to do for a living, I think.
It won't be on his showreel. It will not be on his showreel. I'll say something else. And we shouldn't be embarrassed because Joby's a great athlete, but there was a few games before that where Joby chased into the corner flag to prevent the guy from just hoofing up the line and won a corner. And he sprinted towards the guy at the corner flag. It was a lost cause, dead ball. Yeah. And it was, I don't think that one went a bit under the radar, but that was the same thing a few games before that.
Well, it didn't get under your radar, did it? And that's what people love to see, effort, you know, and they can't always see great skills, and they can't always see great goals, but they should be able to see effort and, say Joby leads by example and, you know, long may he continue. I mean, you know, players do last sometimes at this level, this, you know, 41, 42. There are occasions when they do. And I think Joby could be one of those if he's used wisely. If he's used
Kevin Ellison came on the other night for, I shouldn't know the team he came on for. It was Newport, was it?
Yeah.
He's 41, 42. I think they're using him sparingly. He comes on as an impact sub. He's a big old guy, isn't he? But, yeah, there are players that play to that. And, you know, Joby has every chance of doing that. If he stays, obviously his groin is holding up, which is good because he was out for quite a while now, wasn't he?
He was. Well, Barry, lovely to speak to you, my friend. And all I can say is what I said to everybody else. Best for the season, and let's make the most of that 24 hours.
Your words carefully.
Well, what can you say? What can you say? It's a dog.
Well, happy Christmas sounds like you're being sarcastic.
Yeah. I mean, happy incubation day. you know, let's hope we'll all be watching The Great Escape, I suppose, or whatever they're going to put on. But every one of those things.
All the best to you, Andy, and the Orient fans. You know, we all always stick together through thick and thin, don't we? And this is no exception.
That's it. And we'll be back, I've no doubt, once we sorted things out, we'll be back in the studio with a couple of you at least. But, you know, we've been speaking to the manager of the station, and he said it's just obviously extreme circumstances at the moment. These new things have got to come in, and they've really got to play it very careful here at the moment. So hopefully we'll be back to normal by next week. I think Bill's supposed to be here, and he'll be chatting to Ricky Otto. But I'm sure a week after that we'll all be back to normal in the studio, hopefully. Anyway, that's the fingers crossed.
I think we're rather normal, Andy, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, well, another normal, new normal again, yeah. Anyway, you take care, Barry, and
all
the best
Andy.
To you and your family, mate.
Cheers. Happy Christmas.
Ta-da.
Bye, mate.
Bye. That was Barry Galvin there. Good to speak to him. Obviously, I do apologise for any background noise there, but as I say, we're making the best of what we've got here at the moment. So delighted to be joined by Steve Tung. How are you, Steve?
Well, okay, Andy. A little bit downhearted after, two results last week, wasn't it? So I suspect that's put a little bit of a cloud over everybody going into Christmas, which is a shame. the only positive, I guess, as the whole season, we're not getting beaten by big margins. We're not getting done 3 and 4 goals. It's just that odd goal every time, which in many ways just makes it more frustrating, I guess.
Yeah, and we were speaking to Glenn earlier, and, you know, there were some defensive frailties there yesterday, wasn't there?
Yes, there was. So looking at the year as a whole, of course, the one loss was Marvin in the summer, and I think now we realise how much we're missing him. Haven't heard much about how he's doing at Blackpool, but he has been missed. And I know when we had Martin Ling on the programme just a couple of weeks ago, and he talked quite openly about new signings and said at that stage we were looking for a centre-half and a midfielder, which sounds about right. I suspect, in fact, I know many supporters would like to add a couple of other positions to that. But so we're looking at the transfer window with particular interest now, I think.
Do you think the midfield is because we can't really rely on Joby to be fit game after game after game, and we would need somebody to act as a foil there for Clay?
Well, yes, there is that. And although even with Joby, the one thing I think we have almost always lacked since the very start of the National League is that very creative midfield player, the kind of player who old folk like me would talk about as an inside forward. I see the phrase number 10 is used these days, and often it was a number 10 or a number 8, a sort of a Liam Brady, a Johnny Haynes, going even further back. That's someone who can really play a pass, doesn't even need to be that harder worker in midfield, not a sort of box-to-box player, which the modern midfielders tend to be, but just someone who can play that killer pass, even at League Two level. The sort of pass, I suspect, which Danny Johnson, for instance, would absolutely thrive on to run onto in the channels. That has been the one player which, for me, we have missed all the time. The nearest, I suppose, who came close was actually Adams, who for some reason came on loan and ended up going elsewhere. Wouldn't be very welcome back now, I suspect, but that's the one miss for me. As you say, of course, we can't expect Joby to play twice a week, and he's suffered more than anyone from this glut of fixtures which we had the whole time since we resumed.
Yeah, I mean, Adams, I think you touched on it there. I mean, to me, he was the ideal sort of player that we needed, wasn't he?
Well, I thought so. He was, you know, he was mobile. He could get around, and he could play a pass, and he could score, and he'd come back and haunted us once or twice. I would hope that was the sort of midfield player that they're looking for in January. And the other positive, I mean, we ought to look at the positives while we can. It's that time of year. I think and I hope the owners will still be backing us despite all the financial problems they've had. They've said that if we were anywhere near the playoffs, that they would be looking to strengthen the squad. We had a terrific January transfer window at the start of this year, of course. Vigourou, Cisse, even if he's been a bit disappointing lately, and Danny Johnson. I mean, that was terrific. And if they could get anywhere near that, then we would have reasons to believe again in 2021.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be difficult to plan for next season, isn't it? With the current, you know, we just had this new tier system thrown at us, and it's a bit of a dog's dinner. Nobody knows what's going on. So it's very hard for them, because obviously commercially it's a minefield for the commercial department, because obviously nobody's got a crystal ball and knows how the customers, if you like, are going to cope over the next few months. So what can Nigel do as regards investment? It's going to be difficult for them. I mean, how much do you speculate? Nobody knows what's happening.
No, it's been terrible for them. If you remember, of course, as far back as October, we thought we were coming back. We had that first week of October penciled in, first of all, and then that got put back. We finally got back for two games, and one of the things I'm most grateful for this year is I was able to get to both of those games, get a ticket for the Bristol Rovers game, which wasn't a particularly important match in itself, but it was very interesting even after that game to hear Sam Ling say that just with 570-odd people in the ground, it really made a difference to the players. And then to get 1,700-odd for Newport and to beat the league leaders when we felt the crowd really did make a difference, that was perhaps the highlight of the whole year. But no, as you say, difficult for the owners. We can only take them at their word that we will be in better shape than many other clubs when we come out of all this. We think they'll keep the faith. They must be horrified in the States when they look at what's going on in London and see we're now back in a fourth tier. And we can only, you know, trust in them.
Yeah, I mean, they've got enough uncertainty on other matters in the States at the moment, haven't they? But, you know, what can you say? I mean, none of us have known a season like it. But who would your man of 2020 be as regards Leighton Orient?
Well, it's tricky in that the two most obvious candidates, who I imagine most people would say are Joby McAnuff and Danny Johnson, the pair of them have really only come on this season. Joby, of course, hardly played, just that one game right at the end of what became the premature end of last season. And Danny Johnson was just getting going at then. But those two have really been the ones this season. If you had to pick one, I would give it to Joby just because he's had to be more involved. I mean, Danny Johnson, I was looking at that game on Saturday and wondering how many times he actually touched the ball. It's terribly frustrating for him because he needs the service more than anybody. And the number of times the ball is hit towards him up in the air and he's got some 6 foot centre-half crashing into the back of him, it does make life very, very difficult for him. So Joby, with his captaincy, his what's clearly great significance in the dressing room and around the club, would be the man for me. And I know they often give a young player of the year award, don't they? And I guess Hector Kyprianou has been the outstanding one there. And we're looking for great things from him in the next year.
Yeah, I mean, also, I think to the fore this season, I think Wilkinson's improved markedly.
He has. I'm afraid I'm still one of those who thinks he's a centre-forward and would love to see him up there with Danny Johnson, flicking on those headers down the middle for Danny rather than standing out on the touchline and trying to get on the end of the long clearances.
But I think they tried him there, Stephen. He kept drifting out wide again, didn't he?
Yes, well, it happens. But you really have to change the whole system to do that. You can't really play 4-3-3 and have the two of them right down the middle. So unless Ross is going to move away from the 4-3-3 and there's no sign of it anymore, then I think Wilco is a winger. But as with Lee Angle, of course, we bought Lee Angle and Danny Wilkins and Connor Wilkinson as the replacements for Bon and Caroma, our two mains striking forwards, and they both ended up playing out wide with just Danny through the middle. But I must admit that is a tricky one to solve.
And your highlight moment of 2020?
Well, I think I'm going to go for Newport. It was so good to be back in the stadium, albeit in the East Stand, where I hadn't been for a good few years, actually. Ended up with several of my friends in the stand just behind me. We had a great afternoon after a disappointing first half. The second 45 minutes, attacking down towards the end where we were, and getting those two goals, just made it a terrific day all round. And all the more disappointing that we haven't and won't be able to get back since in 2020.
Indeed. Steve, all we can say is obviously as happy a Christmas as you can under the circumstances to you and your family, and we look forward to hearing from you in the new year.
Of course, thanks very much, and very much the same to all supporters and listeners.
Thanks, Steve. Bye now. Well, Billy Herring's with us now, and Bill, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, mate. How are you?
Yes, we're all coping. I've said that to everybody. We're doing the best we can under the circumstances. I'm sure the listeners are as well.
We came for it.
Trying times for everybody.
Yes, indeed. Well, I hope everyone stays safe and, make sure that you reach out to people if you need anything, because it is a difficult time. But together we will get through it, and that's the most important thing.
Yeah, and now, I mean, we had a disappointment over the weekend with the football result as regards to Orient. And how big a part do you think the fact that the crowd weren't back after the hype of the crowd being back in, the fact that they came out to an empty stadium, do you think they might have had an effect?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly felt like a bit of, they deflated. It felt like a bit of a flat performance, didn't it? We never really got going, you know. So, yeah, quite possibly. I think, you know, the quicker we have crowds back at Brisbane Road, the better.
Yeah, so I mean, it's been a strange old year, as we all know, and I've asked everybody that's come on here their highlight moment of 2020. What's yours?
I don't know if I've got a highlight moment. I think my favourite thing about 2020 is the fact that Danny Johnson has proved me well and truly wrong. When we signed him in January of last year, I wasn't convinced at all. I couldn't really see the point of the signing. We sort of seemed to play him out wide, but since we've stuck him down the middle, I think he's been fantastic this season. So I've got to say that rather than one moment, that's my most important or key thing, I would say.
Right, and is there a player of 2020?
Yeah, well, I mean, Danny Johnson himself has done really well, as just mentioned, but it's got to be Joby Mackenagh. As far as, you know, player of 2020 goes, when you consider that he missed the whole of last season practically, you know, with through injury and what have you, and to come back at 38 years old, I mean, you know, what an absolute model professional, what a role model, and how lucky we are to have him as the captain of our club.
You know, pretty much everyone I've spoken to tonight has said that. You know, they've all said Joby Mackenagh. And, you know, there's a guy, was he 39? And Everybody's nominated him as their player of 2020.
Do you know what, Andy? The thing is, when you look at it, right, he's got a lot of media commitments and stuff now. He's obviously looking past his life as a professional footballer. And you could be forgiven for, like, sort of, you know, or he could be forgiven, should I say, if his performances were waning. But if anything, he's even more committed. If anything, he's even better than he was, you know, 2 years ago. And that's incredible, you know. I mean, you look at that run he did the other day when he outstripped a 23-year-old, you know, with a 10-yard head start on him. It's just incredible. The man phenomenal.
Yeah, he is indeed. Yeah, all we can say, Bill, is because we're running out of time tonight, is have as good a Christmas as you can, my friend, and we'll see you. I think you're due in next week to speak to Ricky Otto, aren't you?
Yes, mate. Yeah, we're going to finish our interview with Ricky. So, yeah, so all the best to you too. Have a good Christmas and stuff, mate, and to the listeners.
Thank you, Bill. Bye now.
All right, take care, mate. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Thanks, Billy, and thank you, everybody, for listening. And as I say, a bit of a makeshift show. We hopefully will be back to a more normal sort of show next week. In the meantime, we'll leave you with Status Quo.
on the hour across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM News.